What are you expecting? What are you looking forward to tonight?
I'm looking for something delicious, suspicious, something huffalicious. Something off the charts, baby! Yeah.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silvera Studio. Glad you can hang out with us on a really nice Thursday afternoon. Got a three-day weekend up ahead of us. It's all good. I got a lot of local news to get to in the big lead here, but a couple of other things going on in the news before I get to it. I love this. The New York Times has written a piece that is driving its liberal readers insane. The New York Times published a report that found the happiest of all Americans are married women who consider themselves religious conservatives. The New York Times opinion page tweeted this out. It turns out that the happiest of all wives in America are religious conservatives, followed by their religious progressive counterparts. And it was a report titled, "The Ties That Bind, Is Faith a Global Force for Good or Ill in the Family?" So all they were doing was reporting what this report says. Oh, but the New York Times, if there's anything that liberals despise, it's happy conservative Christians. They despise them from a fire that burns in their bellies. And I'm just reading some of the responses to that New York Times tweet. This is hilarious. They all asked their spouses if it was okay to answer the survey in the first place. Another one. I used to lie to myself about how happy I was, too. I wasn't. But I was taught to find joy in suffering. Abused women will say what they're supposed to say. There are consequences if they don't. And that was a hashtag, exvangelical. Can confirm what all the other ex-evangelicals are saying. Self-reporting on this is not a reflection of reality. Conservative women are taught that being anything other than happy is a spiritual and moral failure. And it just goes on, page after page after page. It is intriguing. Just the depth of hatred that so many people on the left seem to have for people of faith, and especially if they're conservative people of faith, and especially if they're happy conservative people of faith. Of all the people to despise, that's where all these people are putting their energy. It's very weird. And then you have, this was fascinating, NPR, which gets a lot of its funding from you and me. The taxpayers, kick in a lot of dough for NPR. They have issued some new guidelines for their on-air talent and their written pieces on their website. And they have declared that their talent should not use the terms baby or unborn when referring to what's happening inside a pregnant woman. Their supervising senior standards and practices editor has published a guidance reminder. And he says, the term unborn implies that there is a baby inside a pregnant woman, not a fetus. Babies are not babies until they are born. They're fetuses. Incorrectly calling a fetus a baby or the unborn is part of the strategy used by anti-abortion groups to shift language, legality, and public opinion. So, this is the cognitive dissonance of people who, you must now, if you're an NPR type, you have to support the Democrat Party platform. And the platform is for late-term abortion. That's a big deal. Now, every single Democrat presidential candidate has either come out in favor of late term or has not commented on it because they're afraid to. Because if you say, yeah, I don't think we should kill a baby at 38 weeks. Well, you're radioactive. You're Hitler in the minds of too many people on the left. If you believe that seconds before birth, that's not a human being on the other side. So they but what do they do with this story then? Because there was a story a few days ago about a woman and her mom. They killed a pregnant woman. They sliced open her belly, and they wanted to steal the baby that was inside of her. And I'm looking at a story right now. Father of baby who was cut from dead mother's womb cuddles him in the hospital. And they were able to save the baby. The mom died. But by NPR standards, they can't call it a baby because when it was inside the womb, it was just a clump of cells. So what was it? So when the murderer sliced open the woman, that was not a baby, but as soon as she extracted it, it was a baby. And that's where I say you have to be really mentally off to try to support what has become mainstream platform Democrat platform views. But when you have a media, when you have a government-funded, a taxpayer-funded media that is running interference for you, like NPR, where they're going to start using standards that have absolutely zero relation to science or to reality or to life. But that's because it's more important to keep engaging in this government media cabal, the collusion, to try to prop up just one party. I'd rather, just like I don't want my tax dollars to pay for other people's abortions, I don't want my tax dollars going to PBS, to NPR. You want to talk about deniers? They're always talking about climate deniers. You want to talk about deniers? Yeah, men can have babies, but it's not a baby until it comes out of the man. I mean, we're talking about mental illness that has now become mainstream for an entire party. Wow. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
A couple of weeks ago, I talked to Chris Ingalls at King 5 Television, the King 5 investigators, because he had a great story. And I'll try to boil it down for you here. But out in Enumclaw and a lot of rural areas of King County and all other counties, 100 years ago, in what was agricultural land, now a bunch of homes have sprung up. But 100 years ago, they had these essentially irrigation ditches that would funnel water through the farmland, and then it would eventually go into a creek, and the creek would go into the river. And they still have political districts for these drainage ditch districts. Drainage District number 5 in King County. The same guy has run it since the 1980s. He owns a farm out there. His name is Alan Thomas. Nobody else has run against him. They've been collecting property taxes from all the homeowners. The homeowners didn't even know this was on their property tax bill. And when Chris Ingalls confronted this guy, who last faced the voters in 1988, his question was, where's all this money that you've been collecting? What are you doing with it?
When was the last time the voters voted for you?
We haven't had anybody run for probably about 30 years.
We tracked down Drainage District Commissioner Alan Thomas in our previous Money Down the Drain investigation. Records show Thomas assesses nearly $80,000 in taxes per year from more than 600 property owners in Drainage District 5. That money is supposed to be used to maintain 18 miles of flood control trenches. But we uncover records showing that the tax money is being deposited into a bank account for Thomas's personal use.
Are you using the taxpayers' money accordingly?
Oh, yes. It has to be.
You haven't falsified any records?
No.
You haven't made up any companies?
No.
Okay, I do have a huge update on Chris's story that I'll give you in just a second. But I want to make sure you have a full picture of this. So this guy, Alan Thomas, he hired a business owned by his son to maintain these drainage ditches. But the business was created for the son, and the son never got paid, and even the son admits. So here's Chris's explanation of this.
Public records request to the King County Assessor's Office reveals Thomas assesses the district's property owners between $70,000 to $80,000 per year.
Your district takes about $70,000 a year in assessments.
Yes.
What are you doing with that money?
Well, we have over pretty close to 18 miles worth of ditches to clean.
King County collects the tax from property owners and then pays the contractors who clean the ditches when Commissioner Thomas signs off on the job. Public records show that Thomas's approved contractor is an unregistered company called A Conservation Services. The business address listed is the home of Thomas's mother-in-law. Thomas admits A Conservation was a company founded by his own son.
My son was a legitimate contractor, and before I done it, I checked. I checked very carefully to make sure that it was okay to do business like that, and it was.
But for Thomas to approve public payments to a family member on a drainage system in disrepair raises questions for some people paying those taxes.
I can't say corrupt, but it sounds a little suspicious to me.
That's a homeowner who didn't even know he was paying this tax as part of his property tax bill. And then Chris got a police interview with the son, who admitted that he never did any work on these drainage ditches, his dad never paid him, and more.
We uncovered this video through a public records request. It shows that the city was so alarmed by Thomas's arrangement that it filed a police complaint.
They weren't done by your business, because there wasn't
done by me. Yeah.
Here, a detective interviews Alex Thomas, who says his father started A Conservation Services on his behalf 7 years ago. But Alex only did two jobs in 2012, and his dad never paid him.
As far as you're concerned, did you know there was any work being done with this?
No, not after the jobs. That was it.
Okay.
That's all I knew.
Yet records show A Conservation Services continued to bill the county for years. And bank documents we received through our request to the police show county payments ended up in a bank account controlled by Thomas's wife, Joanne, seen here speaking at a city council meeting last year. Police records show the county paid A Conservation Services $413,000 in a 5-year period. That's tax money going into a bank account for the personal use of Thomas and his wife.
How about that? Taxpayers have been through property taxes, have paid $413,000 to this guy. He, according to the report, started a company in his son's name, never paid his son, and has been keeping the money. And he told Chris Ingles, it's all on the up and up.
Work has not been done on maintaining those drainage ditches.
There's been some complaints, but I guarantee you it's been done.
Okay, all of those stories, it was a great series. They're up at king5.com. So here's your update today. The state auditor's office has found that more than 80% of the tax money that's gone to this drainage district did end up in a personal expense account for Alan Thomas, the commissioner of that district. The auditor's office was investigating the fraud allegations. They found that $413,000 of the $500,000 spent by the district went to a bank account set up by that son and the wife of Alan Thomas. Now, the FBI has been investigating, and this guy, he owns a big farm out there. You can see it from the highway if you're driving out there around Enumclaw. This guy could go to prison if these allegations are true. Alan Thomas, the allegation and what seems to be proven out by the state auditor now, he pocketed more than $400,000 tax dollars. And I will repeat what I said when I first talked to Chris Ingalls about his story a couple of weeks ago. How many dozens or scores or hundreds of these government scams are you and I victimized by? When I say that we could cut government by a half and nobody would notice, except the taxpayers who would suddenly get to keep a lot more of our money, I mean it. Because this is the tip of the iceberg. There are so many things embedded in your property tax bill. In your, look at your, when you pay your cell phone bill, look at the taxes and fees. You know, 50 cents here, 25 cents there. So much of government has been constructed not for the betterment of society. Much of government has been constructed so that the connected within government can steal money from you and me. And the only way we will ever get to where we're putting a dent in that huge problem is when we start restricting their lifeblood, which is money, which is why we should say no to almost every tax increase, which is why we should hold Jay Inslee accountable when he promises you and me on this show that he won't raise taxes and then signs off on the 10 biggest tax increases in the history of Washington State. This is not about saving the planet. It's not about, you know, making sure our irrigation water is clean when it gets to our streams and river. It's about power and money. And you and I are the victims. Sometimes most of the time, the unwitting victims. We don't know. But when you mindlessly vote yes for any tax increase, you are playing along with this game. And again, there is something about politics that corrupts the soul of far too many people. There are some good people still in politics. Some. But there is something inherent in the entire political process that corrupts the very souls of the people who are involved because they are about power and money. And you and I have to stop being the victims of this. But we'll never, never reduce the victimization until we demand that they take far less than they're taking from us now. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you, and then our awesome audio of the day coming up next. Hey, it's that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Solid batch for a Thursday afternoon. All right, at number three, a man was mugged in Michigan. He was carrying a bag that he had just bought. He really, really liked this bag. It had a big name attached to it. And he refused to give the mugger his bag, even after the mugger fired two shots from his gun to try to steal the guy's bag. But this man was resolute.
Number three.
No, I said, you're not getting my bag. And then he fired a second shot. He goes, demand, give me your bag. And I said, you're not getting my Louis Vuitton. I worked very hard for this, and this bag I've had forever. And I paid $1,700 for it or thereabout. I love Louis Vuitton, and I saw this bag long before I could buy it, and I saved up my money to buy it. It means a lot to me, and it it represents me. And it was just like, I wasn't about ready to relinquish my personal property. You could pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
He almost got shot over a Louis Vuitton. I will never understand. You know, like my wife, my daughters, they have a couple bags.
Yes,
big bags.
I like my bags. I mean, that they're like, I would not take a bullet for one.
I got one for my wife because my daughters told me it's what she really wanted. But it was like $400 or $500 for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I will never understand spending that much. I see people who travel and they have these, very expensive name brand leather travel attaches.
Right.
My Canvas Dockers travel bag is every bit as good for like $30.
Mm. I don't know. But.
That's one luxury item I have trouble understanding. Horrible news. The American Taliban, the militant John Walker Lind, who conspired against America, was part of the first Taliban killing of an American soldier. He saw that right after 9/11. He was captured, and he was sentenced to what at the time seemed like a long sentence. He was given 20 years, but he's getting out 3 years early. He's still an anti-America zealot. He still has pledged his heart to a jihad against America, but he's getting out 3 years early because of good behavior. And so 17 years after the American Taliban was identified, he got out of prison today. And we should all be nervous about that. The former New York Police Department Commissioner, Ray Kelly, he's not too thrilled that this guy's out of prison.
Number two.
I think it's disgraceful. He's an American. He should have been tried as a traitor. At the very least, he should have served out his full sentence, which, by the way, is a short sentence for terrorism.
20.
Should have been life imprisonment for him. He has still not disavowed jihad. He definitely should not be walking the streets now.
It's unbelievable. He's out. And at number one, this just happened in the last hour. Donald Trump had a press availability at the White House. And yesterday, Nancy Pelosi said that Trump threw a tantrum at the end of the meeting, because they were going to meet about American infrastructure, but Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they did their little grandstanding thing and said that Trump's involved in a cover-up and he should be impeached. And I don't blame Trump for being furious at this nonstop barrage of crap that they keep throwing at the wall. But this is so bizarre. At the end of the press thing today, Trump went around to all of his senior staffers and told them to tell the press that Trump did not go crazy at the end of this meeting yesterday.
Number one.
Started with Kellyanne Conway.
So I just want to let you know, every time I go into a room, if there aren't cameras, they come out and say, oh, he was yelling, he was screaming. Kellyanne, what was my temperament yesterday?
Very calm, no temper tantrum. I told the facts first about it. They published that they were fuming, temper tantrum, rage, lost it. That's just a lie.
So weird. So to prove he's not crazy, he's done something pretty crazy, making all of his staffers Mercedes Schlapp.
Let me ask you this, Mercedes. You're always a straight talker. You were in that room yesterday?
Yes, sir.
What was my attitude when I walked in? Did I ever scream?
No, you were very calm and you were very direct.
Larry Kudlow, his director of the National Economic Council.
The great Larry Kudlow, could you come here, please? You're not afraid of television, I know.
I
think he's done more live television. Maybe Regis has you by a little bit, right? Not by much. Larry, you were at the meeting yesterday,
yes,
right? What was my attitude yesterday at the meeting?
Mercy's right. Kellyanne's right. You were very calm.
So weird. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
The narrative was I was screaming and ranting and raving, and it was terrible. And I watched Nancy, and she was all crazy yesterday. She threw the hands and everything. She reminded me of Beto. She reminded me of Beto, maybe a little bit worse. But just out of curiosity, you were there. What was my tone yesterday at the meeting?
Very calm. I've seen both, and this was definitely not angry or ranting. Very calm.
Ooh, he did something crazy. to prove he's not crazy. Favorite sound bites of the day right there, brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Another fine day. Beautiful afternoon, too. I'm inspired to finish strong. I'm always inspired to finish strong. I don't ever just go through the motions trying to get to 3 o'clock, you know. I'm here for you 100% every minute of every show. And it is time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Hey, a guy from our state has made it into the New York Post. It's kind of a big deal. 27-year-old Cameron Jeffrey Wilson. I'm going to just read to you. I'm not changing one word of it. I'll just read to you why this young man from Washington has made the New York Post. Here is their headline. Man allegedly hiding drugs in butt accidentally shoots himself in testicles. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Dory, tell me more. Okay. Cameron Jeffrey Wilson, he's being called a bungling felon. He made a series of blunders. It all started while he was storing drugs in his behind. He was carrying a pistol in his front pocket while in his apartment over in Kashmir. The firearm accidentally discharged. I'll tell you about that more in a moment. This guy is a 13-time convicted felon. After he shot himself in the groin and the thigh, he told his girlfriend to dispose of the gun before going to the hospital. When the ex-con finally went to the hospital, another oopsie-daisy. A balloon of marijuana slipped out of his butt while a doctor was operating on the gunshot wound. Cops arrived at the hospital because the doctors have to alert them when there's a gunshot wound. They searched Cameron Wilson's car and they discovered, another mistake by the guy. They discovered a bag of meth in the blood-stained jeans he was wearing when he shot himself. So they issued an arrest warrant for him. He's turned himself in. As he was being processed, he was strip searched at the Chelan County Jail. And, doggone, another mistake. Another balloon of marijuana slipped out of his butt. This is all according to the Wenatchee World News via the New York Post. I don't think the New York Times covered this story. It's the Post. While in jail, Wilson made a number of calls to his girlfriend, asked her to not cooperate with investigators working on his case. But, now another mistake. Authorities were listening in on the calls, as they have the right to do when felons are making calls out of prison. So Cameron has now been charged with possession of a firearm, unlawful possession of meth, possession of a controlled substance in a correctional facility, and 4 counts of tampering with a witness. But given that he has 13 prior felonies at age 27, I'm sure he'll be back on the streets in no time, because that's how we do justice up here in our good-hearted blue one-party state. Today's signed story number 2. I have a scar on my shin from when I was 4 years old. My mom and I drove to California because she had a couple of siblings who lived in Orange County with their families. And we one day went to Knott's Berry Farm. And I remember this so vividly. My mom sitting on a bench at Knott's Berry Farm, and there was there were a bunch of geese in this little grassy area right next to the bench. And I was a terror as a kid. I didn't do drugs, and I didn't do, you know, I wasn't bad to people. But with animals, I was just, there was something screwed up with me. So I went running into the grassy field trying to kick the geese. And they all kind of flapped their wings and got away from me. And then they landed again. And I ran in and I tried to kick them again. And they all flapped their wings and got away. And then the third time, they'd had enough of this little punky four-year-old trying to kick him. And as I went running in, one of the geese took a piece out of my shin. And I still have a big scar from a goose bite. I got all kinds of animal injuries. I have a goose scar. I have a scar on my hand where the stingray sucked me. I thought about this because there was another creepy little kid at a zoo down in Venezuela. He threw a rock at a flamingo.
Flamingo at the Miller Park Zoo had to be put to death after an elementary school student threw a rock at it yesterday. A representative for the Bloomington Zoo said the rock broke the flamingo's leg, causing injuries that led to it being put down. The zoo said it is working with the child's family in hopes that this can be a learning experience.
Yeah, it's just throwing a rock at a flamingo and it hits it right in that little tiny fragile leg. That's horrible. It's a horrible story. And then finally, in today's sign, this is kind of exciting. They have designed a new smart toilet that can tell if you have heart ailments.
We started thinking outside the box. What devices do people use every day? So then we came to the bathroom. It's something everyone uses every day. The intention is that we send this home with patients, specifically heart failure patients, who will be discharged from the hospital to monitor them in the home for signs of deterioration, where their physician could then intervene early with something as simple as a change in medication that could then prevent a hospitalization.
It's Nicholas Kahn, the engineer and CEO of Heart Health Intelligence, which is making these smart toilet seats now. You know who could have used that?
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
You know, Elvis Presley famously died on a toilet seat.
What you doing to me?
Maybe if he had had one of those smart toilet seats, he had a heart attack. I mean, it was a heart issue. So maybe if the toilet had alerted him that he was about to have a heart attack, maybe he'd still be with us. Would he still be with us? He was 42 when he died in 77. So what was that, 42 years ago? He'd be 84. And he had a hard life. I doubt if Elvis would still be with us. But maybe he'd have had a shot if he'd had a smart toilet seat. And all of that is broken flamingo leg, the felon who shot himself over in Chelan. Smart toilet seats. That is today's sign. The end is near.
Can't go on together with suspicious minds.
And I got to get out of here. Said everything I have to say for today. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. Enjoy this beautiful afternoon.
I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.